Blog Talk Radio.
All right, let's start.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009. Featuring winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
From coast to coast and around the world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that.
Post your questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. Again, that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinebtr. And now, All About Wine is on. Here's Ron.
Right. Here we are again.
That's it.
And Mike is back this week. He was under the weather last week, but he recovered. And I guess it wasn't serious.
No, it was something I think it was something I ate at lunch because I had lunch at work. And then about an hour later, it's a long, dragged out, disgusting story, but I went to the bathroom. Left that about 5 minutes later, went back to the bathroom. I was like, you know what? I can't keep doing this for the rest, you know, 4 more hours. And
So I
just went home and went again and went to bed. And that was it. It's like,
yeah. Well, sometimes that's the best thing to do. Yeah. But we had a good guest and you were just saying you listened to it. So thanks. That's, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
And, did you hook us up to Facebook by any chance?
Wasn't on Facebook. It was on Flightline Radio for sure. But Facebook is a different software thing, and it's a little more involved.
I see.
Like just getting it set up now. I just got it set up right before while we were talking. Getting that boot up and all that, it takes a little bit. But and it's a video, and it did not happen. But made it the encore, got on there and did the regular show. So it was good.
Fantastic. Yeah, I mentioned that we were on Facebook. So if you were listening to us on Facebook, you can hear us, but they wouldn't hear us anyway. So it was, useless to point out that we weren't there. But we are this week. So if you didn't miss it last week and usually watch it on Facebook, then it is available in archives and you can catch it then. It was a good guest. If you did miss it, by all means, check out the show. It was a very fun show, actually.
Good.
Let's see.
You were telling me before we started that Cap might be calling in.
That's what he said. I was talking with him yesterday, and he asked if we had a guest, and I told him not this week. We do next week. We have Kim from Korea supposed to be calling us. I'll be confirming this week. I'll email her and we'll confirm it this week. But Kim's supposed to be on next week. But I told him no guests this week. And he says, well, I just might call in. And I said, okay. I said, but, Mike monitors all these calls coming in and he might just not. He goes, oh, don't worry about it. Mike likes me. He'll put me on. And so,
I do actually. I actually want to ask him because I think they are 81 shows in, 81, 82, I think, episodes in, and they're already talking about 100th episode is going to be the end of it, or maybe the start of something different.
I don't know. We were talking last night a little bit about it too. Every Wednesday night, I talk to all the cigar guys. You know, they've been on the show before. Mike, Craig, Phil, and Cap. And they've been on before. They've been on the show before. But every Wednesday night we have a conference call on computer. We actually, see each other. And we enjoy a cigar and we talk. We talk for actually usually a couple of hours or so. And that's when he said that he's going to be calling in and all that. And But he and Phil were talking. Mike mentioned something about you only got a few more first and 15ths to go, and they go, oh, we might go longer. And you know, I'm tending to think that they enjoy doing it, and they will probably pass that 100 show mark. So,
yeah.
I don't think
you know, they've done quite a few and good episodes. I mean, they're
fun,
enjoyable to do, and
yeah,
they're fun.
They really are.
So,
they're fun shows. You just you know, very. It reminds me, all of them remind me of British humor, sort of dry and funny, but dry humor. And so, you know, they really are. They're good shows. And if you missed them, they are all on archive. You can go back and listen to them on archives. But they're really fun. It's Cap and Phil and just talking about nothing.
Right.
And so, you can check that out. Okay. And it's also every Saturday on Flightline Radio. You can tune in at 10 o'clock, listen to Mike on Flightline Radio from 10 to noon, and then at noon, a rebroadcast of this show, and then right after this show is an episode of First and 15th. So there's... You know, on Saturdays, if you don't want to go out in the heat, and it's hot everywhere, and it's not just here in Florida.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to him last night, and Mike lives in New Jersey, and Craig lives in Pennsylvania, and they both had hotter temperatures than I did. So,
wow.
Yeah, that's Phil, well, Phil lives in Indiana, and he was up there too in the temperature. So, it's hot. It's hot all over the country right now. It's serious stuff, and it's not good. I mean, the grapevines all over the country, not good for them to have this heat. Most of the wineries are leaving the leaves, not trimming them back, leaving the leaves on the canopy on it, so that the grapes are shaded and not get sunburned or affected in any way. So, but it's some serious stuff out there in that heat, and it's affecting not just grapevines and people, but crops all over the place. So, let's see. But a couple of things. Though, today is the first day of summer, the longest day of the year, and the summer solstice, and so you've got that yesterday, Juneteenth. Coming up tomorrow, World Lambrusco Day, which I was telling you how all the calendars say different things. Well, World Lambrusco Day is something they all pretty much agree on for some reason. Today is Chenin Blanc Day. So if you are undecided on what to drink this evening, grab a bottle of Chenin Blanc, which is really pretty good. It's a lot of people like Chardonnays, and they like, I got a blank now, the white wines. But Chenin Blanc is really pretty decent wine, little bite of acid in it, which really balances out well with a lot of food. So today's Chenin Blanc Day. And then coming up on the 24th, 23rd, 30th, I'm not sure, because this is one of those, again, where I get all sorts of different dates on it. But coming up, I think the week of the 24th is Prosecco week. And they have a whole week. Prosecco is the Italian bubbly. And so that is I'm getting feedback on my voice here. But Prosecco week, the 24th through the end of the week. So pick yourself up some Prosecco and have yourself some bubbly with your meals this coming week to help celebrate Prosecco week. Sales of Prosecco's picked up too, by the way. This is something I've read a couple of places where it says that Prosecco is really starting to pick up, and champagne is slowing down a little bit, but Champagne's had some issues with the weather, and so they haven't produced as much, and because of that, the prices have went up. So that could be why Prosecco is picking up a little bit. And like I say, next week we have Kim, who is from Korea. She's supposed to be a guest on the show, and she's worked with Native American grapes. Stephen Castles recommended her. He's worked with her on some grapes and some Native American grapes that they're growing, and plus some of the other stuff in Korea. So it should be an interesting show. We'll probably use up more than just our normal hour talking to her, because there's so many things about the Korean wines and stuff I'm curious about. So I'll be asking her all those questions. And let's see, what else do we got here? Today is the 20th. National Cookie Dough Day is tomorrow. And Sunday happens to be National Hydration Day. So it probably should be all over the place instead of just one day. Tuesday is Goat Cheese Day. So if you have never had goat cheese, it's interesting. Goat cheese is pretty good cheese. If it's made properly, it's really pretty good cheese. So those are a few things coming up this coming week that you can check out and see what's, different things you can enjoy your wine with. Okay. And we got other guests coming up. They're starting to fill up. I've got three or four of them in the works right now, coming up in July and maybe on into August. July 11th, we have Jeannie from Green Medal Wine Winners of 2024, California. These are, just like it sounds, green wineries and stuff, and the winners of it. So I'll find out what's going on with that. Also, in 2 weeks is the 4th of July. We won't be having a show then. The evening is time to sit back and celebrate the 4th and watch the fireworks and fill up this neighborhood. And I do mean fill up this neighborhood with smoke. It reminds me of a few times in Vietnam where the smoke was, the gunpowder smoke was permeating in the air. So I'm not a fan of all these people shooting it off around here. But, you know, usually don't go outside and watch it. I usually sit at home and watch the fireworks at the Capitol or New York City. Those things are always interesting. That's the news for that. Today we don't have a guest, like you already know. We do. I do have some things to pass on to you here, so I will jump right into that. Let me find the first one here. Here we go. California fire season is starting early. They're getting fires out there. Still June, they already have evacuations in Sonoma wine country. Oh, my gosh. At least 9 wineries were evacuated this last Sunday by some fast-moving fires, and another 13 are facing evacuation, depending on how the fire spreads. This is up to date here. This is Tuesday the 18th, is this information I got here. So that's 2 days ago. It's called the Point Fire, and it's already burned 1,200 acres by Monday afternoon. It's only 20% contained. The fire is in the rural area. 100-year-old Zinfandel vineyards, as well as homes and wineries in the area, are at risk. 100-year-old Zin vines. That's sad when something like that. One barn is already burned, a winery barn, and as of this article, there is no other indication or no other information on anything else, and any other structures have been burned. They're trying to keep it under control. They've evacuated the winery Ferrari Carano Vineyards and Winery. Also, Bella Vineyards and Wine Caves, Capo Creek Winery, Maritano Family Winery, Michael Schulenberg Wine Estates, Cueva Vineyards, Mounts Family Winery, A. Raffinelli Winery, and Dutcher Crossing Winery. All these up in Sonoma. Some of these are a little smaller boutique wineries. What's so sad is these wineries have such small vineyards that they work on, and they're so exclusive that when they lose their little vineyard, that just totally devastates them. The Dry Creek Valley, where the fire is, has more than 9,000 acres of vineyards owned by 150 different wine growers or grape growers, and it's mostly known for Zinfandel. There are at least 32 with vineyards listed as over 69 years or older, 69 years old or older, and including 18 that are more than 100 years old, and 5 that were planted in the 1800s, the oldest being Teldeschi Ranch Vineyard, which was planted in 1885. Wow, that's sad that the wildfires could affect those. They're saying that more than 300 residents have been ordered to evacuate, while another 400 are under warnings to be evacuated. And no indication of how the fire was started. So this is, they're saying, the earliest large wildfire to hit Sonoma since 2016. But it doesn't really surprise me because of the conditions out there are so bad. It's been pretty dry in Sonoma. They've got their rains and stuff like that, but it seems that a lot of the rains that went through have just caused things to grow, and the fire has just been running through areas. Plus, they've been getting some strong winds, which has been pushing this stuff through. So, latest on fires. We're starting the fire season already. I try to keep you updated on these fires, but sometimes they just, get out of hand. I'm not sure if all of them that are out there. American grape variety shortage. I saw this and thought this was interesting. It's the Napa, California has some strange rules there when it comes to grapes that can grow in places and all that. It's acceptable to 60 plus different additives and preservatives without telling customers, but it is forbidden to grow and use grapes that do not appear on the short list of approved grape variety names. You can use these different additives, but you can only use certain grapes. Strange for California. The 10,000 vine varieties in the world, 13 occupy more than one-third of all the plantings, and 33 out of 10,000 compromise about half of all the plantings worldwide. It's absurd if you ask me, but we look for certain varieties that we like and all that, and these things have been promoted to us over and over and over again. I've talked to guests over the last couple of months, and a lot of them have said, get away from your standard varieties and try something new. And the types of wines out there are just phenomenal. And just of the 10,000, fewer than 400 can be legally grown in the United States and appear on wine bottles. So there you go. That's 400. I like to see that list. In fact, I might look that up, see if I can't find what that list is. Because we were talking to Stephen Castles a couple months ago. or probably longer now, because I say a couple months, and I find out it was, you know, 8-9 months, a year or something. But when we're talking to Stephen Castle, he's talking about American grapes. And the ones that are being grown around and all that, and 400 legally be grown in the United States, and they're doing new hybrids all the time. Are those legal? I don't know. You go to the tobacco and tobacco, oh gee, tobacco farms, tobacco farms and spirits or whatever it's called, website, and go to the wine section, and it lists the wines, or the grapes that are legally being grown. You can find them there. I thought of that. So I got to look it up. But you can go there, and it lists the wines. But it makes me wonder, if new hybrids are coming out all the time, are they approved? Are they legally allowed to be grown in the United States and put on a bottle? Or do you have to go through a process, which a lot of times you do. A lot of times there's a process to get those things approved. And if that's the case, then it's, well, I don't know. This paragraph here says, the TTV, Jason Hass, whose family has petitioned the TTV, and that's what I was trying to think of, Tobacco and, Bureau, said, to get at least 9 grapes approved for use on wine bottles. And the last in number 348 on the agency's index of acceptable grape names for use being Muscardin, which got the green light just last year, and could be understandably be frustrated by the red tape. And I was just talking about that. The red tape for it says there is a reason for both the TTB and USDA cautions. He goes on and says, I don't think the government is making it too hard, actually. They have legitimate interest in not spreading a disease that could wipe out a multi-billion-dollar industry. But because it's slow and expensive, people often try to get around it and are actually proud to say they smuggle grapes in. How many stories have you heard about the suitcase clones? And, we had a guest that talked about the suitcase clones, the ones that were brought in and being cloned. But this is one of the problems, if you will, with TTV. They are slow, and they are trying to be cautious, but creates a black market in grapevines, because people want to try it. It's and when they, I need to look at that list, because there are so many clones of different grapes. Pinot Noir jumps to mind right away. Chardonnay is another one. There's a whole bunch of different clones. Cabernet has a bunch of different clones. They're still called Pinot Noir, Chardonnay, Cabernet, but there's a whole variety of clone numbers for that. And I guess if it's approved to have a Cabernet Sauvignon, regardless of how many clones it has, it's already been approved for Cabernet Sauvignon. But could these clones be problematic? I don't know. I've never looked into this too much, looking at it this way. So I was reading this article earlier, and I had more questions than I do about anything else of how this is working in California and how this is working around the country with TTB. It takes a long time to get grapes, so you can make a wine and a decent batch of wine. And because of that, it creates more problems too. Here's a tropical fruit forward Haida, H-E-I-D-A, also known as Seven In, S-A-V-A-G-N-I-N, Seven In, or Seven In Blanc, which comes from Switzerland's Valais grape. Probably not approved, but they've made wine out of that. They can't label that. And it just, you know, it goes on to different problems or different things with grapes. They're saying, you know, well, you know, Stephen Castle is one of them, saying there's lots of grapes out there with different names that we don't know. We don't know what's going to happen. You can't name it that grape. He says, try different ones, but, you know, a lot of them are not. I'm not authorized by the TTB. So a lot of them come from overseas too, from Russia, Hungary, Romania. It's a problem. It's definitely a problem that it takes so long for TTB to catch up on these things. All that. I'm going to have to read this article or TTB, I read this article. I'm going to have to read TTB and what they have to say and what they're saying on it. I didn't cross-check this article on the wines are mentioning or the grapes are mentioning here with the grapes that are authorized in the United States by TTB. Oh, interesting. Oh, okay. I'll look up that and find out more about that. We'll talk about that more. We got a guest next week. 4th of July is the following week. We got a guest on the 11th. Next time we don't have a guest, I can talk about this. It'll be about 3-4 weeks, but I will find out more and let you know what's going on. You may find yourself a wonderful wine made from a little-known grape and not be able to find it after a while. It's always a possibility. So, who knows? 10,000 grapes, only 400 are authorized in the United States. And they're coming up with new ones all the time. And that's the thing. You know, we say 10,000, but there's lots of others. So, all right, let's see what else we got here. Best wine, best value for Prosecco. Again, Proseccos are, what happened there? There it is. Prosecco week is coming up. And so the best value for Proseccos is try Belusi Prosecco Brut Rosé, which is reasonably priced, less than $20. Kylie Montague Signature Prosecco Rosé. There's another one, less than $20. A Voga for Rosé. Seems like all these Proseccos, there's some that aren't Rosés. Wild Nature Prosecco Brut. There's quite a few here that are listed that are reasonably priced. So go out there. They said that you can find a lot of them with price tags around $15 to $20 that are rated, scored at 90 points or more. So a lot of Proseccos to check out for your Prosecco week coming up next week or starting Monday or Sunday or whenever it does. All right, let me go back here to this and see what we have here. Let's see. Okay, we were just talking about the point fire. And here's a question that's asked on this article. Again, this is a couple of days ago. Could smoke from the point fire damage local wine grapes this far from harvest? And this is, you know, the harvest is usually September, October. And, you know, we're 2-3 months away from it at least. But could the smoke from this fire affect the grapes? And the winery here says, yeah, it could. It smoke can get into it, and you don't notice it. It's they're real hard little P-shaped things right now, but they're not really sure how susceptible they are to smoke taint. It could affect them because it absorbs it into the grapes. The volatile phenols are absorbed into the grape, and this is what causes the smoke taint. And it says some wine experts use the expression wet ash to describe smoke taint. And there's been little research into the impacts of smoke on grapes when they're this young and right before rison and the onset of ripening of the grapes. And rison is when the grapes start changing colors from their baby green colors to they start turning red and the actual greens they're supposed to be and stuff like that. And that's rison when they actually change colors. But there's been not a lot of research into it on the impact of smoke on grapes that young. University of California, Davis is trying to find out. They are working on it and seeing what can happen. They have the abilities to isolate it and do it. And so they're trying to come up with something here. University of California, Davis also is working. They're the leading edge of smoke taint science, if you will. They're the ones that are actually, if you want to know something about smoke taint, UC Davis is the leading edge, the ones that are doing it. They have looked at Australia and the smokes down there, and how the grapes were impacted at early stages like this. And based on Australian grapes, yes, it does affect them when they're before rison. So it could be a problem too, because those fires in the Point Fire is really sending out a lot of smoke. Especially with the number of wineries and wine growers in the region, they're saying it's a $1 billion retail value in the area that's being hit by fires and smoke right now. And it could affect areas a little bit away from there, too, not just right there. Oh, there's some pictures. Let me see if there's, boy, some serious smoke coming out of those fires. They're showing pictures of vineyards here with the fires on the hills behind it and the smoke clouding up everything around the vineyard. So even if it doesn't affect the vineyards as far as actually burning them, the smoke itself could affect them. So, well, I don't know. As the season goes on, we will find more to that. And if the grapes get into your wine, it could affect the taste of your wine too. So it's something that, it's not something that just happens out there. It could actually affect you. See what happens. Okay, let's see what else we want to look at here. Mildew impacts the Rhone Valley. Talking over in France, issues with the weather have continued across the Rhone, are across French vineyards, with the Rhone also being hit across almost all of the wine producing areas this year. And it's because of it is causing a lot of moisture in there, and it's causing major mildew problems, which destroys a grape. I mean, it just, the taste is horrible when you make a wine with mildew on it. It almost loses your crop as fast as anything else. So, let's see. It says it believes they've lost 100,000 hectoliters of Costa Rhone, Costa Rhone Village, and Costa Rhone Cru So it is already a problem with the mildew there. Again, if you are a Rhone wine drinker, this will affect your wines there, and it will affect the cost. And Medoc is also being hit with some, but not nearly as bad. Mildew is a horrible thing. Splits the grapes. It gets on there and it splits the grapes, causes the grapes to split open, and destroys the crop, destroys the wine. Okay, let's see. This is interesting. It says the oldest wine ever in liquid form has been discovered in a 2,000-year-old Roman urn. In liquid form. We heard about wine. They say, oh, we found remnants of wine here and remnants of wine there. And we know that it does because it dries out and they can do it. But this is reported Sunday in the Journal of Archaeological Science. Announced that a reddish brown liquid found in a Roman funeral urn in 2019 has now been confirmed to be the oldest liquid wine ever discovered. It is found in southwestern Spain, and the family uncovered a sunken tomb and immediately reached out to the local archaeological department when they discovered it. So, hadn't been raided or looted, which is unusual because a lot of those things are over the years. The oldest liquid wine, they said they look for polyphenols, which are exclusive to wine, and they found 7 wine polyphenols in it. So it is definitely wine, but it's roughly 2,000 years old. Let's see, was it white or red? Red. No, wait a minute. No, white. White grape varietal. I thought that was interesting. 2,000-year-old wine. And they put it in a bottle and they label it 2,000 years old and put it up to auction. Somebody will probably end up paying $3 million for it. you are crazy. Okay. Let me go to something else here. Tassel Ridge Winery. I'm going to tell you about that too. We haven't talked about Tassel Ridge in a while, but Tassel Ridge Winery, located in Iowa, in what is the name of the town that they're in? It's not there. It's here. Okay. Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, Leighton, Iowa, southeast of Des Moines. They are doing all sorts of stuff. Summertime, they get really busy and do all sorts of cool stuff. They have a tasting peanut butter, chocolate, and Tassel Ridge's red, white, and blue. Let's see. Here's a quiz for you. Which of the following wines should be stored in the refrigerator once opened? Both red and white. B, only wine made from fruit other than grapes. C, white wine only. Or D, sweet white wine only. Okay, I'll let you think about that for a minute. They have a new wine, Tassel Ridge's Iowa Frontenac, which is Native American grape, Frontenac. They have their, as always, their wood-fired oven pizza night. This is by reservations only, so get a hold of Tassel Ridge if you're in the area and attend it. It's Friday tomorrow. Be coming up. Pizza will be served at 7:30. $6 and $12, depending on what glass of wine you get, and the pizza is $15. And also, you can choose what type of pizza you want. They have all sorts of apple bacon cheddar, a beef taco pizza with cheddar, lettuce, black olives, tortilla chips, shredded mozzarella, and house-made salsa. Wow, that seems to be a pretty full pizza. Gift shop is open. Harvest Club's corner is open. The Vineyard Marquette, they're still growing the Marquette. And they've finished bottling the last batch of the Star Spangled White for the season. And let's see, are the tastings, they still doing tastings? Here we go. Seated wine tastings are available at the winery by reservation only. So give them a call. I guess they're not doing it at the counter. I mean, when I went there, we just walked up to the counter and we did it. But, I don't know if they have, if they've changed it and you have to be seated to do a wine tasting or not. I might have to call them. Answer to your trivia question, both red and white wines. Any wine you open, if you don't finish the bottle, but if you don't finish the bottle, refrigerate it. Any wine. And then drink it within a couple of days. Don't let it sit in there for a long time. Drink it two, maybe 3 days later, but don't wait a long time. Okay, Castle Ridge Winery. I was going to tell you the contact number on them. Let me find them and do that. Castle Ridge contact, you can go to, location is, or the name Tassel, T-A-S-S-E-L, Ridge, R-I-D-G-E, Tassel, Ridge, winery.com. And their phone number is not there. Where's their phone number? I thought it was here. Well, I guess it isn't. Wow. Okay. Well, they're open. Now serving Castle Ridge Winery all-day menus from 11 to 5. Bistro lunch is 11 to 3, and Sunday 12 to 3. And I don't see a phone number. Sorry. I thought this had a phone number. Well, CastleRidgeWinery.com. Go there. Check them out. And if you're in that area, it's really a pretty cool winery to visit. So check it out. And let's see.
There's a phone number on Google. I don't know if that helps.
Oh, is it? Yeah. What is it?
It is 641-672-9463. 641-672-9463.
There
you go.
Right.
Yeah.
Try that. Yeah. In Leighton, Iowa. Cool winery, really is. Let's see. And let's see. Let's see. Second the Astacadero Lakeside Wine Festival. There are still tickets available for that, if you are so inclined. That's in Paso Robles. Tickets are $75 through Friday or $90 at the event. Or you can go to www.Astacadero Lakeside Wine Festival. And it's put on by the Tascadero Chamber of Commerce. This year's event is the 27th. It features over 100 wines, brews, ciders, and craft spirits from the Central Coast area and beyond. So, pretty good deal. Once you, you know, you'd say $75, well, you get to try a lot of wines. They said the highlight of this year's festival is a roar and pour experience, where you can enjoy wine while observing animals at the Charles Paddock Zoo. It's impossible to here. List all the wineries. I'm not going to read that. In addition to the beverages, it also includes various artists and all sorts of stuff there. So, pretty big fest. 27th, Atascadero Lakeside Wine Festival. 22nd. 22nd annual. And it is on the 20th. This year event marking its 27th anniversary. And then down here it says the 22nd. I wish they'd get it together on this stuff. They might be confused. And since it's on the 22nd, they might have got confused on that one part. So if you're in Paso Robles area, which is south of San Francisco, south of Monterey, that's where Paso Robles is, in that area on the coast of California. Ukraine is bouncing back. What are they, 2 years into the war with Russia? And they said that the alcohol industry is really exploding. Go figure. It's viticulture bills that were adopted by the Ukrainian parliament on August 9, 2023. And it's the introduction of the bill and the overall tightening state requirements. And the drink segment is helping to boost the grape industry and the wine industry. It's raised the price a little bit, but people are really drinking. It's minimum pricing now for stuff, but it says that the Ukrainian people are doing a lot more drinking now. That is rather interesting to me. Why would a war cause people to drink more? Although it's not all over the country. It's just sort of like land movements on it and all. Wine Spectator magazine came out with four grand award winners of 2024. The grand award winners are Gracing's, which is located Carmel by the Sea, and California, San Francisco, Lazy Bear, Temple in Burgundy and Beyond, La Bistro de la Hotel. There's one in Portugal, the Yeatman, and those are the four new winners of Wine Spectator's Grand Award winners, which is the highest award you can get on their list. This is now, they have a total of 96 Grand Award winners. This has been going on since 1981. This just popped up on me, so I let you know about that. Let's go over here and look at this one. Here we go. There's American's grape shortage on this too. I was talking about. Willamette Valley, Oregon's Labor Day fires, and they have fires in Willamette Valley. Why won't you let me into this? I don't need to read this and pay a buck. The Oregonian. subscriber exclusive story, but I can read you the first paragraph here. Oregon's Labor Day fire sent smoke into Willamette Valley just before the 2020 grape harvest. 2020? More than 60 winery and vineyard owners are seeking to recoup their smoke-related losses by suing the entity they hold responsible for igniting the fires. PacifiCorp, the electric company, an electric power company owned by Berkshire Hathaway. Well, that's interesting. I heard that they were suing. I didn't think that this was an old article like that. But this might say how that fire or how that suit is going. I am not going to pay a buck for that. Besides that, it'll take me too long to log all the information in they need for that, so it's not worth my time. Colorado Association for Viticulture and Enology introduces its first ever amateur winemaker workshop. So if you're in Colorado or in the vicinity, Colorado is now offering a amateur winemaking workshop. Interesting. Palisade, Colorado. Crafted for past and future participants. The amateur workshop is a two-day event that offers an in-depth understanding of the winemaking process, techniques, and troubleshooting methods. The participants can engage in hands-on learning sessions, wine tastings, and network with industry professionals and fellow wine enthusiasts. Cool. In-depth sessions, which explores the science and art behind winemaking, hands-on learning, troubleshooting tips, and networking opportunities. So there you go. If you are interested, for more information, you can contact www.winecolorado.org. So if you're in that area and you want to get involved with that, those workshops, the weekend workshops, stuff like that, I went to one at Florida University, University of Florida, up in Gainesville, a number of years ago. A bunch of winemakers from Florida were invited to a workshop up there for a couple of days, and it was fun. It was interesting, and we reviewed stuff and learned stuff and got to network with other winemakers in the state of Florida and meet some of the people we've talked to on the phone and never had a chance to put a face to the voice. This gave us an opportunity to do that. So that was a lot of fun. That was a two-day workshop, too. It was Saturday and Sunday. And it was really worth the time. Drove up there, and it's really worth the time to go to that. So if you are interested, this is one of those things. Try checking it out and seeing what that is, and you know, learn a little bit about it. Let's see. It's not here, but I did read it somewhere, and I can't remember where I read it, but the winemaker, California winemaker, and I can't think of his name, shame on me, who was the winemaker for the Paris decision, the one that made the Cabernet Sauvignon for the Paris tasting and won, just passed away. He was 94 years old, I think, but he just passed away a couple of days ago. I wish I had more information. I don't know where I saw that. But he was the one that made the Cabernet Sauvignon that entered it into the Paris tasting and won. And made quite a name for himself after doing that. Actually put California on the map for wine. So that was a good thing there. But geez, I can't remember his name. Sorry. I just can't think of it. Let's see. Oh, there's some more articles on the fire, the Point Fire. Sonoma man working to bring pride spirit to wine country. Actually, wine country is pretty liberal up there. I don't see why he needs to work on that. But I suppose it gives him something to do.
Stag's Leap Cabernet shocked the world when it won the Judgment of Paris Wine Tasting Contest. The first time a California wine had bested French wines. His name was Warren Winiarski.
Mm-hmm.
It says he put California winemaking on the international map. He's died at 95.
95?
Stag's Leap, yeah. That was posted June 9th this year. So,
A couple of weeks ago then. Yeah. I remember seeing that he had passed away. Thank you. I obviously didn't know the details. That's good. 95 years old. But he did. It was a big decision to enter that contest, and people said he was crazy. He said he was go up against those French wines and all that. But he proved them wrong. He made a name for himself and for Stag's Leap and for California, the United States, New World Wines. It was quite a decision. They still talk about the Judgment of Paris all the time. There's been a couple of movies made about it. And it's a pretty big deal. So, yeah. Well, thank you, Mike. Glad you found that. This article on pride, bringing pride into the wine country, it goes on and talks about different wineries that do have pride flags around their facilities and stuff like that, or around the tasting areas and all. So it's not like it's going to be a big job for him to do this. I mean, it's already, like I said, Napa is really, our wine country, California, is pretty liberal about all that stuff. There's rosé. Rosés are becoming really pretty popular. Unbelievably popular. We've talked to different people on the show that have talked about rosés. I go through and read stuff, and something will pop up about how a rosé is becoming mainstream right along with other wines, and how the taste is not that sweet, standard, classic rosé that people are so used to. They are being made in a very dry style with a little bit more depth and a little bit more character and some very good grapes. And it's amazing what's happening with rosé. It's moving away from the poolside fruity drink that you can have a fruity wine, and becoming one that is being served with all sorts of stuff, which is great. I've always been a somewhat of a rosé drinker, not one that I would sit down somewhere and say, bring me a rosé, but they're really coming into their own. There are some very dry rosés out there, and some that are getting very expensive. There are some rosés that are approaching the $100 mark for a rosé, which is always been unheard of, basically. So there's lots of rosés that are becoming popular that are not your standard one, not your one that you just guzzle like you would, a glass of water to satisfy a thirst. These are ones that are becoming mainstream, along with cabs and Chardonnays and Sauvignon Blancs and all these other wines out there. So, you know, don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be concerned if you're ordering a rosé. There's a lot of serious rosé drinkers, and a lot of wineries are making some serious rosés, some that are, well, let's see, this article goes on. Here you go. There's some, here's one that's a blend of Grenache, Syrah, and Rolet, which is Vermentino in France, or Austria. And it said that it spent 2 years in Austrian oak, and an aging potential of a decade. A rosé, think about that. And here's a Chateau Esclandre's $139 Garus rosé, which uses Grenache sourced from century-old vines. And it's entirely fermented and aged in new large French oak barrels. Another one here, Clos de Tempel, is grown in biodynamic principles all the way through, including horses and mules in the vineyard. Grapes are hand harvested and juices matured in new barrels for 6 months on the lees. And it costs a staggering $195. So, rosé is becoming a mainstream, very popular wine, and the winemakers are starting to jump on the bandwagon on this. One label here, it actually labels it as rosé of Pinot Noir, telling you the varietal that it is, not just any grape that they made the rosé, but one that is a varietal, Cabernet Franc Rosé, another one here, $25. A Syrah is usually pretty common, or Syrahs, if you so find, are pretty common grapes used for rosés, but now Petite Syrah, Cabernet Sauvignon, all sorts of different ones out there. So, again, don't be ashamed to order a rosé. Check the price first, though. You may be surprised. You say, oh, bring me a rosé. You may be ordering yourself a $200 bottle of wine. Be careful with that stuff. Let's see if there's something else here. I'm just going to talk about that rosé. I'm glad I found that. Well, I think that's it. Well, I think we're done for tonight. There's nothing here that's that important. Besides that, it's after 8 already. So next week we have Kim as our guest. Mm-hmm. That should be a fun guest. Korean.
Yeah.
Tell us about Korean wines and what they're doing over there. I'm really curious. We've talked about Korea in the past, many years ago, about the Korean wines and making it with flowers and stuff like that. So maybe we can ask her about flower wine in Korea and what else they're doing over there, and get some firsthand answers.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yes.
So tune in next Thursday, the 27th of June. And wow, that's it for June, isn't it? Gosh,
that's it.
Flying right up. June 27th, that's Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Or is that 7 a.m. Korean time? What am I thinking?
7 a.m. Korean time. I think they're 12 hours exactly. Yes.
8 hours? Wow. For that special show, and we'll have her on live on here on Blog Talk Radio and all the other places. So stay tuned for that. Thank you very much. Weekend, be safe, y'all, and we'll
hydrate
next week on All About. Yes, it's hot. Did we mention on air that it was hotter or yeah, hotter in, what'd you say, New Jersey? Northeast?
I don't know. Was it to you or was it on the air? But, yeah, I talked to the guys. One lived in New Jersey, one in Pennsylvania, one in Indiana. It was all hotter last night when I was talking to them about 6 o'clock Eastern time here. It was all hotter in all those places than it was here.
And our thanks to Cap for calling in tonight and being on.
in a couple
of weeks we're off. Next week we have a guest, so maybe sometime in July we can bring him back on
and call in.
And the show will go crazy. Thanks again. I'll talk to you next time.
Be safe. Have a good weekend.
Thank you.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
That's it.